Getting us possible legislation to deal with the lack of info that would handle it. And I can tell you the kinds of things we're proposing and the types of problems that are involved.
Very strong statements should go. I mean, don't worry we all worry about programs and substance around here, they don't mean a goddamn thing. In terms of what really matters, and what really matters in this part of the issue is what people think. And what they think is that we aren't doing a hell of a lot right at the moment, because we failed. So, that's all I care about. I don't care if the legislation go up next month, even. I mean, I don't think it's, nothing's gonna happen anyway. But I'd sure like a little good rhetoric on it, give them hell.
We did some of that yesterday. Hudson's written statement, and then Silverman, who was here on Arizona, briefed on it. And today, Governor McCall is and we're hoping to arrange some kind of a forum where he can express the concern of the West Coast governors about this and call on the Congress to pass the legislation that's been before them, or to pass special legislation, or in one way or another to deal with it. And I think we would be ready to go Friday.
The date of the legislation is irrelevant. It's only the rhetoric. So we can work on any kind of rhetoric between now and then. You can fight all the time you want.
Well, I think that we have made it so clear that we're tired of this strike that we really can't just sit around, as you said, and say that, we're just waiting for the Congress to pass our legislation. We have to do something different and more than that. I think that the sort of thing that we would have to do probably is to have an arbitration bill that establishes either a single or a tripartite arbitration board, probably best a single board. It would have to have the jurisdiction over the jurisdictional dispute issue, so it would be arbitrating something involving the Teamsters and the Longshoremen. It is possible to put this over to the NLRB, but since it's been part of the bargain, it's probably best to just leave it to the arbitrator, we think. Now there's a big, and I think, critical
The House is a much bigger body than the Senate. You've got 435, they only got 100. And yet they got 10 times as many presidential candidates. Now, what's the matter with you guys? No, I think you've got them. Okay. All right. Bye. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
The tricky issue is the relationship between the arbitrator and the pay board. The money on the table by considerable exceeds any conceivable pay board standards. So an arbitrator is either going to have to rule for less than the union has already turned down, or he's going to have to rule something that violates the standards of the pay board. It's just, and it poses, I think, a extremely difficult issue, as we recognized even back at Camp David that it would, for the pay board to handle.
That's right.
So our approach is this, to have the arbitrator instructed to go ahead and arbitrate the dispute in a manner consistent with the Economic Stabilization Act, leave the pay board out of it, and to have his ruling be final and binding, and not subject to anybody's review, not subject to the pay board's review or anybody's review, and thereby to get the pay board off the hook, because they won't be able to handle this case. There's no, it's just too much for them. Now, the tricky thing about that is that it may be said that we're going around the pay board, or we're showing a lack of confidence, or something of that kind.
Civil strife.
I think that this approach, which is the one we're on right now,
you're right.
I'm promising.
I know. You're totally right. Totally right. Absolutely. Don't worry about going around the pay board.
All right. Then we'll proceed on this, and we'll probably be ready to go ahead on Friday in introducing it.
Good.
It will get a big hue and cry, maybe, of course. I think they are in a very weak position to hue and cry about this.
Why? You know, God forbid this one, sir. Maybe you.
Well, and I'll proceed to see that we get as much noise as possible made about the problem.
Have we really squeal about the irresponsibility, the tragedy, all the misery that was caused by the dock strike? We just can't really have it again and call for action. Maybe some of those poor goddamn miserable Republicans might get up and say this. McCall might do that. He's coming back here just for that purpose. How about you, about some of our congressmen, senators, and others that are supposed to be down there for the purpose of getting our legislation through in this instance?
We may also be able to parlay our basic legislation onto this, because there are a lot of people in the Congress.
Isn't that like a say that the lot of people in Congress, go ahead.
Who say that they're not going to vote on another ad hoc settlement unless it is combined in some manner with a more fundamental addressing of the problem. Now, the major committees will do it, but if they get anything out on the floor, that can be amended.
Yeah.
And there are some, I think, who are ready to tack your bill onto something like this and make the sentence.
Develop one very brief sentence, no more than 15 words, to submit to heaven. I've given a price because he was dilly-dallying around. I've given him to 4 o'clock to get me an absolutely total final draft with no changes, because I can't do it anymore, because I've got to work on something else tomorrow if something's come up. But if you give him one sentence, did we have something in there on transportation? Just say the resumption of the West Coast draft, not draft, the total irresponsibility of the need for action now or something. I think, would you mind doing that? Somebody could put some purple language in there. I don't know whether I'll use it or not, but that's right. Oh, can I mention one other thing? I have considered the idea which Golden Connolly and Burns have talked about of the ceiling on expenditures, and for it, I think it's good politics. Nothing's going to happen, of course. But not be ducked into the state of the union, because it will be lost there. It'll be one of several stories. I think it should be a major lead in the budget message. And I'd like for you to prepare the strongest possible, strongest, simplest, unequivocal language possible. In other words, ceiling on expenditures for the administration, for the Congress, and for, without any escape hatches. Now, as we know, this has been recommended before. As you recall, the only time that anybody came close to it was in 68, but there were several congressional escape hatches then. The one in 69 was not a ceiling on the Congress, it was only on the administration. I think that in view of the rather substantial deficit, this will be very salutary thing to do, and it should be a major lead in whatever, and we'll sort of let it get out if you're thinking about this. But I think to say that the State of the Union is not the place they were recommending that, because I know what happened in the State of the Union. You've got so many things that are said that that'll be lost, but it could be a good secondary lead in the budget. The major lead in the budget will be how much the deficit is. Secondly, it could be ceiling on expenditures pushed. So would you give me something on that?
I will. We have a technical problem at this point in the
he's already finished.
The button, well, it's on the press. The press is rolling.
When I said in the budget message, I should say that let's just add that as a presidential statement to accompany it. See what I mean, George? And then you'll get a bigger lift. Don't put it in the budget message. That in view of this, view of the deficit and so forth, that I call upon the Congress as a matter of urgency to put on the ceiling on expenditures. You don't need to put it in the budget. No, I understand.
We have a televised press conference that Connolly and I traditionally, the Secretary of Treasury's budget gives.
We could have a presidential statement. I have a statement for the president on the budget. And this statement, and then they'll ride that hard. That's very good.
All right.
Now let me see the language on that, since it'll be, and then I'll try to gussy it up a little bit, jack it, so it's as unequivocal and strong as possible.
I'll get Pat to do the first draft, and you can be sure it'll be on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's good at words, too.
Okay.
He not only believes it, but his words should be good.
I think a big thing will be that a statement of that kind will have to stand behind at least for a month or so.
Absolutely.
And fight.
Absolutely.
And there'll be a lot of fighting to do very fast on the budget. And I say that because the budget fighters, so to speak, we take our lumps these days.
Yeah, but I mean, now that we get it out and we see this huge deficit and all the rest, let's just stand our ground and fight like hell.
I'll get that right up and back to the cabinet meeting that we have scheduled for Thursday afternoon. I had thought of two parts, so to speak. One is kind of a budget briefing and showing people what the main features of the 73 budget are, and the dimensions and everything. And then second, showing the departments how much they have actually expended in fiscal year 72 so far, and how much it allowed them. Because the way this usually goes is the cabinet officers fight like the devil to get budget authority. And they scream and they yell and so on. And then once they've got it, they hoard it. And you come to the end of the year, and they think it's a great thing that they
save money.
They don't spend it, or they pour it all out in June. Defense is among those who is a culprit. And the message, it seems to me, we want to give is, we've got this budget authority, we're taking our licking on the deficit and so forth, now for God's sake, let's spend it. Get it out into the stream of expenditure. I thought that I might give a little lecture along those lines.
Oh, I think that's, I remember you mentioned this before, and I'm totally for it, and I'll back it all the way, believe me, we're going to tell them to get that money out of it. And also, we need a ombudsman, or whatever you call it, operation to follow up to see that they do, particularly in defense, kick them in the ass every day.
We've we've been doing that for the last 2 months.
All right.
We have gotten going now, finally. We'll keep at it, we won't let up.
Whatever departments there are, even some of those domestic departments sometimes have to be pulled around, they use, we'll get that running.
Doubt about it. All right. I have a couple of other things I'd like to check with you. Pete Peterson has been thinking about his role in the Commerce Department. Wants to emphasize the competitiveness of American industry. He sees that as a good transition from his international job to his commerce job. That seems sensible to me.
Sure.
In that connection, he would like to take over the chairmanship of the Productivity Commission, which has been something that I've had.
You've been the chairman?
I have been the chairman. That is a potentially good commission. For the first time, is authorized and has funding. And by this time, we have been doing, there hasn't been a lot of visibility to it, but we've been doing quite a little work so that it is in a stage where a fair amount can be made out of it. There's something to draw on by way of genuine work going on. There's a productivity effort in the steel industry, there's one in the construction industry that you'll hear about, I hope. We have a Smithsonian thing going, and we have quite a few efforts underway. Now, I can see how that would fit in with his ideas, plans, and ambitions, and I'm more than ready to turn that over to him. But before getting down the track on it, I thought I'd better just check and see if you have any particular reaction to that. If it ought to be checked with Padua in particular. Well, that's the reason why I think I must have been asked to do it in the first place, was that if it's labor, that's one thing, if it's commerce, that's another, if it's a different battle. The old Labor Management Committee under the Kennedy administration is chaired in alternate years by Labor and Commerce. They pass it back and forth. And that was not particularly successful because it just broke all the continuity to do that. But Pete has a pretty good image, I think. Has a lot of energy and he's very interesting.
He wouldn't have worked with Shanks, in my opinion.
Well, I'll explore it with Connolly and Hudson particularly.
And Hudson, those are the two. If that's the case, I'm sorry to me and sorry to you.
I think he would like to have this said when his appointment is announced, so I'll get busy on it. If it can be swung all right, well.
There's a lot of things going to be announced today. Well, I'm sure that I'm in fault there, but I have
Peterson is a self-starter, of course. That's fine. Very well.
next week, that's fine, but I, if you don't, okay, John, no problem at all, the only reason I was in Holland, especially because we wanted to make an announcement, I said, well, I said, there's no news in it, or he called me,
about 2.5 hours. It's a very extensive thing. And some are specialists. St. Bartlett, and it's all the county, and it's all, so it's a pretty good thing now, of course. Well, I don't see how, if you were to come over there and do something, it would break as a news thing, which might be desirable, but that would be, that would be.
I don't, I think it would be good as a whole presidential statement, I don't think it would, there, much as you might say, if we could dump the dam.
Well, a presidential statement read by you, or said by you, at the time you signed the budget, would get a big fine, particularly if you did it so that the cameras got set out there, as John suggested. Suppose I get up a statement, and then also try to think of the various ways in which it could be put out, and send that into you.
Statement has to be about one man, because it's a few about a news show, because it's a few about something, it's a minute, minute and a half. I mean, it's about 150 words. That's what they would use. Don't give them more than they use, or otherwise, it might use the wrong thing, rather than the right thing. What's your feeling about the paper? Are you as disturbed about it as our readers?
I don't know how discouraged Arthur is, but I guess he's pretty discouraged. It's a question of what you anticipated. I didn't anticipate that they were going to be able to cut these settlements right and left and get away with it. Arthur seemed to think that you could just stand up and cut everybody down to 5%, no matter what was going on. I never thought that that would be the case. I think if expectations could be adjusted a little bit to reality, the aerospace work that they've done represents progress. Of course, I think that the construction industry people have made remarkable progress. Although Arthur considers that to be a failure. Well, I think if you get the level of settlements from 19% to 10%, you've done a hell of a lot. There's some such thing as that, and they're pointing downward. So it's a question of expectation. I think the situation inside the board is very bad. Virgil Day, the fellow from General Electric, seems to be sort of a wild card around, and makes lots of public statements. Of course, the union people conduct a kind of guerrilla warfare all the time. They work poor Arnie Weber over something awful. He's the strong man on the board, in the sense that he's the guy who stands up and fights and shuts the deals and so on. But they call him an administration stooge and whatnot. So the feeling is not good in that board. They judge both is, it is said, not a particularly good administrator. I think the administrative side of it has been set up right. We had some OMB people go in, and Don Rumsfeld, of course, has been working on it to try to get the staff done and so on. But they have worked him over pretty high, much harder than he deserves to be worked over. They could help him, and he's basically a good person. We are, incidentally, just because I can see his problem, I've asked Bill Gifford, the fellow who works for me on congressional relations, to work especially with Bold on confirmation, which is coming up, and to get him around and get around to the senator and so on. But I think the paperwork is in shaky enough situation, so I think we ought to always have on the front burner the question of what are we going to do if it blows up, and be ready to do that. thinking this is a job. I think God.
I have ideas about changing that.
Well, the lots of people would like to see the judge gotten out of there. I think they ought to ask themselves before they're too critical. How would they like to be chairman of that paperwork? It's not an easy job. It's much easier to be chairman of the Price Commission. Jack Grayson is one of my employees. I think he's done a pretty good job, although he's been blowing through a few lately, I think. But anyway, that's much easier to do with seven nice public members than to tackle this labor management. They're not trying to make it work, they're trying to make it not work. That's the basic problem. So I think there are real issues there. The labor boys clearly don't want to walk off the board. They don't want to be tagged with the responsibility for destroying the wage price system as yet. Although I'm told Fitzsimmons is getting pretty uptight about the judge and so on. And he's been very favorable to us, of course.
Yeah, that's Mars.
But at the same time, Mr. President, there is an example. There's a lot of substance involved. They complain about procedure and the judge and all that, but when you have a ruling that says deferred increases in excess of 7% are not going to be allowed, who are you talking about? You're talking about the Teamsters. And Fitz suddenly got very uptight about the judge and all the public members and this and that. When? Well, when that came down the pipe, and that is going to hit right into the Teamster contract. And personally, I just don't think that you're going to turn those teams to contracts over. And why it is that Arthur thinks you can do that, I don't know. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of confidence in the people working at it to accomplish what Dunlop has accomplished in the construction industry and wind this thing down.
Yeah.
You just don't do it with a meat axe. Well, you can do it gradually, but you can't just... I'll put it another way. I think Chuck Colson feels that Fitz is upset because Bolt doesn't give good leadership, or the public members are not dealing straight, and so forth. I think, while there's probably there's reason for people to climb on that, the basic reason the labor people are upset and the Fitz is upset is because it looks as though the pay board might try to be tough enough to make a difference on their contract. And that's what they're getting. Feeling is with a major study going on in the administration. And with a tremendous amount of work having been done on exchange rates and so forth that are designed to promote exports, we need to point for all this and say that we are making these studies and that we have all of this actual work being done and negotiations underway, and let's see what comes out of that before we start taking positions this way and that way on the substance of the legislation, which is far from being agreed within the administration. So that's one part. Second part has to do with the proposal in this bill to transfer out of the State Department all of the commercial business representational and diplomatic work and put it in the Commerce Department. This is a bill that Senator Magnuson has up, and we have to testify, and the reason I'm bringing it up now is that the testimony is presumably scheduled to begin on Monday, so that it's right on us. Now, Secretary Sands, of course, is strongly in favor of it. Rogers, of course, is strongly against it. My own feeling
is that it ought to pass, but that's going to be a hell of a problem. It's a hell of a problem for you to go ahead and fight the Secretary's meeting on a matter of this sort. But just hope to God that the Congress overrules them. The state's been wrong on this for years. I don't know of one man that sold where they got that into the economic advisor. Not one. Not one.
Well, I think our question is, what position should we take on the bill, since the State and Commerce, among others, will be testifying? They will need to have a viewpoint. Well, I think that whatever position we take, if we were to take the position that we oppose it, nevertheless, there will be a stream of witnesses and a design to develop the point that the State Department is not doing an adequate job of representing commercial interests. So I think there'll be a lot of pressure on the state. Now, my feeling, I'll tell you what I think, my view on the thing is, first of all, that there is a real big problem in the State Department in the way this has been handled. And so the fact that state is going to get flooded up a little bit in these hearings is good.
That's right. That's what I
think. We should use the occasion through an internal effort similar to the one that we did on intelligence, to put a heavy pressure on the state to change itself, and in the process of conducting that effort, not rule out the movement of, or the restructuring in one way or another, of not only how the commercial things are handled, but how agriculture things are handled. Treasury, of course, has a big interest in this, and so on, so that we look at the way the U.S. Represents itself in a given country as a mission, what the roles of respective departments are, and we say explicitly in our testimony that while we would not favor the passage of this massive transfer now, that we want everybody to know that we are undertaking this examination because we do feel there are genuine problems there. That is sort of the way we had structured it. But I know your feelings about it.
You want him to say we're studying.
Well, he will agree to it. Sands won't. Sands wants to go gung-ho to change it.
Well, look, the way to do it is that Sands doesn't understand how to the way to do it is to get yourself in a little bit. Position there. I'm surprised Rogers would agree to that. But then, to push that damn committee to kick Satan in the ass. That's what has to be done. I totally disagree with the statement. I just want my position understood. Totally. They're dead wrong. They've always been wrong. The department is totally inadequate in this field. So we begin with that. Now the question is, well, how do we accomplish it without bringing too much China into the cabinet? And the way you accomplish it is basically is to, let the Congress do the dirty work. Encourage them to do it. They ever ask me, and the press conference and so forth, and they never will, because they're not, nobody's interested in this subject, you know, not hot. It's supposed to be, I'll say yes, we aren't going to get enough job here, we need to shake it out. Or it's going to be private citizens, and you see, we'll trust not. Yeah, I think Peterson's going to have to do the testifying at that point.
Well, we could stake out an administration position in favor of that transfer.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to be, let me put it this way, George, we have a difficult problem here, as we have in all of the relations with these cabinet officers, particularly here between state and commerce, just tight as a pick. You know what my belief is. My belief is that I'd put the whole damn thing out of state, put it in commerce, or make them take commerce attaches. However, and so therefore lean strongly in that direction, but do what is possible. You see what I mean? Whether you can have a confrontation in the thing, we can avoid it, fine. But if you've got to have one, then I'll lean the other way. I'll lean that way if we have to, but I guess you're going to have one.
Well, the only way out of a major confrontation in the testimony is this device of a study, but the study needs to be positioned so that it's serious and so that the scope is such that it isn't just necessarily going to rubber stamp the current situation, and it's clear in the format of the study that that's the case.
What do you think, John? You said Rogers agrees with it. That surprises me. But
well,
I know this one. Maybe that's an hour.
I think Rogers sees that he's on the defensive. And,
I'll tell you one ally you got there, John.
Well, Connolly brought this approach. I talked it over with
Steady
the approach that he has to study.
All right, study it and have the study come up against the fair enough. Okay. And then I'll back it.
Okay, I would regard this and in OMB, if we were to do it internally, and I believe probably that's the best way to do it, as a very serious proposition. And we worked the intelligence community over very hard, and we can do that if we have your support.
You're exactly right. You can say that the study did not show up. He was trying out for a day or two. It's been a lot of very hot stuff written by Rogers in response to
it. Yeah.
We're out of here. I've got very serious. Well, I've got to admire the man. part of it, and the income, responsible, so not so much, not exactly these gentlemen. The point is that the bill just constantly defends the goddamn department. And he says nothing is wrong. Well, the department is not always right. The department's in hell of a shape. You know, poor Connolly has had one hell of a time. I did something today, so in Crazy Channel, which they it was a pretty shocking damn thing. I pulled everything right out of it. Well, the problem kid yourself in we used to put something on. I was in here yesterday and showed me an intelligence report that he had. Well, in the first place, he didn't clear it. It was not cleared at all with Connolly. For all this is a treasure matter. That's goddamn not the safe person's matter. The second point is, if I said it once, I said it by Rogers, of course, yesterday, and others that in this field, the expropriation statement every hour. Here's what I'm saying. I think there are about through 18 pages I've gone through what I said, okay. But anyway, but what happened was that it's totally against my house, and I may be, because I told Connolly, I said, I may be wrong about my identity. But my policy with regard to any country that appropriates American enterprises is to do unto them as they do unto us. And that you've got to play it about mine. We're not going to negotiate any goddamn loans. We're not going to help them at all. As long as, particularly when he's in trouble now, just lost a couple of parliamentary elections. And here's the State Department, without calling Connolly, without informing me. So I said, where the hell is that? that's not the point. Now that he is elected, and he is expropriated, and he is taking an anti-American attitude and foreign policy, the hell with him at this point on renegotiating. Well, it's such an easy way to take on, not taking him on personally, not taking him on the record. We just drag our feet and you can negotiate soon. And who better to do that than Conlon? He'll send Volker or something else. But here, this son of a bitch, Weintraub, is over there cutting the rug right out from under what was I have covered a number of times.
The state of men, the monopoly on that, we had our problems last week or so. It's not as important.
Well, of course, they're all in the first time. But anyway, you hear what Jack on that.
Well, I think that the...
But I'm all for it. Let me say that I'm prepared on this commercial thing to draw a survey and say it's necessary. I may not have stated my position strongly. So have it steady, but I know where I'm going to come down. And it's going to be very tough to take. The bill is going to come along. It's not going to come along. And get rolled.
Well, if you feel that way,
yeah.
That's an argument for just going in and supporting the bill.
Well, if we're going to support it, he'd have to come in and present his case. You know, that's the problem. So.
He has done that.
Bill.
There are papers in the pros and cons of this in which states have been represented, which he signed personally, which are basically advices to you. So the staff work is really all done on this issue.
And they oppose it,
and they give their reasons. And so you've got the pros and cons already before you.
John, that you can, with all the problems we have in the state at the present time, that you can get a roll on this, which is an enormous thing. It's been in charge of a fight for 20 years. Huh? And so let's do it the other way. I mean, this is a more clever way to do it. We can roll, but let's roll them our way. Remember, you just give me a study, and I'll sign. It won't be like the oil import.
When you see Bud's Thursday night, it might come up, or I don't know what context it might come up in, but in any event, we tried to cut our losses on it. The regulations have been from this field, catching a lot of flack, particularly from our own governors.
Who did?
Basically, Dennis and Hart.
But done before, but twice.
Right. So, we reversed it over the weekend, but put out a statement. It was going as a retreat under pressure, but it was a hell of a lot better than what we would have done otherwise.
Sure.
We did the same thing on clear cut in the timber industry. We rolled a train on one where he proposed an executive order, and then I think he or the timber industry wanted to leave it. So it became a public controversy before it ever got to you.
He was for
banning clear cutting. Timber industry said that it would affect jobs and they're avoiding new business and so on. It was a bad proposal from a political standpoint. You ruled no executive order. And got a lot of praise from guys like Tom McCall and got a fair amount of
great environmental.
We've got a fairly easy promise on that one, except for the environmental groups who made the push there with them, so I'll just read that.
It tests out how somebody really stands when you affect his close-in interest, and then you find out what.
Foy reported to you that he can sell a lot of airplanes overseas. In really getting Northrop and other guys in here and giving them a certain degree, it develops that there are almost no present possibilities. There's a lot of rhetoric, but there are no present possibilities with one very small exception. So there's no quick fail on that, but we are going to lay the line down so that Zoom Wall and others can solicit business and we'll get some future sale.
Right.
It's a big one reporting here that you don't need to look about.
Push it for all it's worth.
Kleinke's apparently is confirmed that Bob may have gone into this week. I called him on it, but it's from record reading that if we get out of early enough, he'd get 22 to 34 negative votes, and it'll probably be between 4 and 6 week delay between nomination and confirmation, during which he'd get bumped pretty hard. But he can be confirmed. And he would secure a good best running relatively early in the session. Because one is what it's done. We can't do it for 5 minutes after we start. We will be 15th of what? Sorry. Never.